Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, February 25th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the retail trading frenzy is back as shares of GameStop soar.
Promising news in the fight against the pandemic, we have the latest developments on two fronts.
Democrats are poised to push the stimulus package through the House.
And President Biden moves to stem the shortfall in computer chips.
Tens of thousands of middle school students are returning to their classrooms today, and a troubling new coronavirus variant is spreading across New York. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Rangers lost in Philadelphia college basketball. A win for Rutgers, a loss for Seton Hall.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Challenges highlight one's character, partnership, and resilience. At SEI, they act as one community with their clients. Go to seic.com/banks.
U.S. future is treading water this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 5 points. Dow futures up 46. NASDAQ futures down 95. The DAX in Germany is little change. 10-year Treasury down 17 30 seconds. Yield 1.43%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33%. Nathan.
Karen, the mania in meme stocks is back in focus after shares of GameStop doubled yesterday. They're on the rise again this morning, too. Let's get the latest in this live report from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, it seems like the Reddit crowd is still active. GameStop jumped 104%. Powered by a surge in the final hour of Wednesday's trading session, AMC Entertainment rallied too to push a 3-day climb toward 59%. The activity inflated trading volumes in the meme stocks and caused an outage on Reddit's Wall Street Bets forum. The forum saw so much demand that the site would not load. Well, there could be a couple of reasons for the latest GameStop frenzy. The company's chief financial officer was pushed out this week, and a major stock clearinghouse just yesterday laid the groundwork for speeding up stock settlement. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. A closer look at the trading around GameStop certainly points to a surge in retail investors. We get more from Bloomberg Markets reporter Danny Berger.
We saw a ton of call options, and we know those short-dated call options tend to be from the retail crowd. Most of the trades on GameStop are so-called odd lots, which means they're really small sizes. Basically, a lot of the trades were just one share, so that also points to this being a retail-fueled activity.
And checking shares of GameStop now, they're up 48% in early trading. AMC is up about 18%.
In the meantime, Warren Buffett's right-hand man is calling out the modern era of stock trading. Charlie Munger says Robinhood Markets and other brokerages attracting inexperienced investors are essentially offering, quote, gambling services and have found a dirty way to make money. The 97-year-old Munger made the comments at the annual meeting of Daily Journal, where he is chairman.
Stocks enter the trading day in record territory. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at an all-time high in Wednesday's session. And Kiran Ganesh is multi-asset strategist at UBS Wealth Management.
Equities have responded relatively well to the increase in bond yield is because it's being driven by higher inflation expectations and higher expectations of growth. So, you know, that's a good environment for stocks, you know, even though bond yields are going up. I think where equity markets might get a bit more concerned is if the Fed starts to talk more actively about increasing interest rates, or if we start to see real rates increasing, then that would be more challenging for equities.
Right now, S&P futures are down about 4.5 points. Checking Treasuries, the yield on the 10-year is at 1.43%.
All right, turning to the pandemic now, coronavirus cases continue to level off in the U.S. Daily infections are down to about 70,000, and now there's more promising news on vaccines. Let's get the latest from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
A new study says the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine could help end the pandemic. The study found that 2 doses of the vaccine were overwhelmingly effective in almost 1.2 million people in Israel. The study was published in the latest edition of the New England Journal of Medicine. The two doses prevented 94% of COVID cases in almost 600,000 people. And we could be just days away from getting another vaccine on the market in the U.S. Regulators say Johnson & Johnson's shot is safe and effective. Now it's up to an advisory panel, which meets tomorrow. If the one-shot vaccine is approved, J&J says it will initially be able to provide 4 million doses. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. Now the latest on stimulus. Lawmakers are poised to push the $1.9 trillion package through the House tomorrow. Changes are likely in the Senate, but Democratic leaders hope to have legislation on President Biden's desk by mid-March. Kentucky Democrat John Yarmuth is chairman of the House Budget Committee.
I know that the states have differed in how much revenue they've lost, but every state has suffered an economic impact. And the money that we're providing here doesn't just go to make up for lost revenues. It also enables states to do things that help save businesses and help save institutions in their community and their state.
Yarmuth spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio.
Meantime, at the White House, President Biden is directing staff to address shortfalls in semiconductor production. That says the shortage of chips has idled production at auto plants.
We need to make sure these supply chains are secure and reliable. I'm directing senior officials in my administration to work with industrial leaders to identify solutions to this semiconductor shortfall.
The president ordered a review of supply chains with an eye toward ending reliance on China. At the same time, he admits the problem won't be solved quickly.
Back on Wall Street, questions are being raised about infrastructure used to process payments. For about 4 hours yesterday, Federal Reserve systems that execute millions of financial transactions a day were disrupted. It appears to have been some sort of internal glitch. It's a system that processes everything from payroll to tax refunds and interbank transfers.
Turning to corporate news now, Tesla is pausing some car production. Bloomberg News has learned the company's telling workers it will temporarily halt some production at a plant in California. We're told workers on a Model 3 production line in Fremont were notified their line would be down until March 7th.
Let's get you caught up on some key earnings from after the bell. Shares of NVIDIA down 2% in early trading on concern about growth in the data center chip business. During an earnings call, the company's CFO said the majority of growth in the current period will come from NVIDIA's gaming business. Some analysts worry that means the data center business will expand more slowly. And the pandemic is hitting the world's biggest online travel agency, Booking Holdings, the owner of Priceline, reporting a 63% drop in sales in the fourth quarter.
And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Amy Morris with a look at what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. Tens of thousands of New York City middle school students are returning to their school buildings today. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
This is really an important moment, bringing back our middle school kids, getting them in the classroom, giving them opportunity to learn from talented, committed, passionate educators. People really care about what they're doing.
62,000 students in grades 6 through 8 will be back today. De Blasio says New York City's high schools will reopen before the end of the academic year. A new coronavirus variant is spreading across New York. The New York Times reports the variant contains a mutation thought to help the virus dodge the immune system, possibly weakening the effectiveness of vaccines. Scientists call it B1526. It first started showing up in November. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy reports the state has administered more than 1.7 million doses of the vaccine, and he says tens of thousands of shots are administered every day, adding that number could greatly increase if Johnson & Johnson's shot receives emergency approval.
J&J is a potential game changer. There's no question about it. They've already indicated that they've got some amount of supply ready to go.
Murphy says that first shipment of their vaccine could arrive during the second week of March. The U.S. military is beginning to deliver shots at coronavirus vaccination centers in New York and in Texas, and says service members will start staffing 4 centers in Florida and 1 in Philadelphia next week. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the soldiers are equipped to handle such a massive effort.
What the military brings to this equation is discipline, organizational skills, and effectiveness.
The Pentagon is ramping up deployment of what federal authorities say could be up to 100 vaccination teams across the country. A former member of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration, who previously accused him of sexual harassment, has offered new details now. Lindsay Boylan says Cuomo once kissed her on the lips without consent and would, quote, go out of his way to touch her, and suggested they play strip poker. Cuomo has denied the claims. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy. Thank you. 5:09 is the time now on Wall Street. Time for a Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stasher.
Good morning, Nathan. The accusation made in Russia is that Rangers star Artemi Panarin assaulted a girl 10 years ago. He at the time was playing in the Continental League. ESPN reports that the coach of Panarin's team and two of his teammates then knew nothing of any such charge. Panarin has denied it. He has taken a leave of absence without him. Rangers lost in Philadelphia 4-3. Chris Kreider scored all three Ranger goals. Red hot Nets tonight try to make it 8 wins in a row. They host Orlando. Knicks are home for Sacramento. Last night, Utah blew out the Lakers by 25. The Jazz are an NBA best 26-6. Lakers have lost 4 in a row. Rutgers came from 15 down to beat Indiana for the second time, 74-63. Cold shooting Seton Hall lost at Butler, 61-52. The first public comments from the Yankees' Domingo Germán since he stopped pitching in 2019 following the accusation that he beat up his girlfriend. He spoke to his teammates Tuesday, and Germán told the media yesterday he has benefited from counseling. Several of his Yankee teammates say while they support Germán, they won't tolerate another such incident. PGA Tour has made the move from California to Florida. Tournament starts today in Bradenton. All the players thinking about Tiger Woods. It was Tony Finau's reaction to Tuesday's car crash.
Something crazy happened to our sports world last year with Kobe. So, you know, I wouldn't say that dramatic of feelings, but man, you just hope Tiger's all right, you know. And we all know he's a strong cookie, physically, mentally. So if someone's gonna get through this, he will, and be back for the better, I'm sure. But you know, our thoughts and prayers, I'm sure, as a whole, all the players, I can speak on their behalf, are with Tiger.
The L.A. County Sheriff said yesterday the crash was a, quote, pure accident. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Mixed action in futures contracts this morning. S&P futures are down 6 points. Dow futures up 40. NASDAQ futures lower by 101 points. 10-year Treasury down 19 32nds now. The yield up to 1.44% on the benchmark 10-year note. 2-year yield, 0.13%. Good Thursday morning. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. Bonds are selling off, stocks rising on prospects of a stronger-than-expected recovery encouraged by ample fiscal and monetary aid, the 10-year Treasury yield climbing to the highest in a year while Japan's longer-dated benchmarks rose to multi-year records. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're lower, down 5 points. Dow futures are higher, up 44, and NASDAQ futures are down 89. The DAX in Germany, down less than a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury is down 17 32nds. The yield, 1.43%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. 30-year yield, 2.29%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 26 cents at $63.48 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $5.30 at $17.92.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.2222 against the dollar. British pound, 1.4163. And the yen, 106.10. And we're watching Bitcoin. It's at $49,125. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The White House now scrambling to save President Biden's nomination of Neera Tanden to be budget director. Scheduled votes in two Senate committees were delayed yesterday. They haven't been rescheduled. The razor wire topped fences and National Guard patrols in place around the Capitol building since the January 6th mob attack will remain for the time being. Capitol officials who briefed senators say they have no timeline to relax that security. Leaders of Texas's embattled power grid are set to face sharp questioning from lawmakers in Texas today after more than 4 million customers lost their power last week. In sports, the Rangers fall to the Flyers. In basketball, the Warriors beat the Pacers. The Celtics downed by the Hawks. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on a morning where we're seeming to get a pile of promising news on coronavirus vaccines. Let's run down some of it now with Sam Fazeli, senior pharmaceutical analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Let's start off, Sam, with these new studies coming out of Israel, the latest one suggesting that the two-shot Pfizer vaccine is 94% effective in the real world, just about the same as it was in clinical trials. How do you take that? Is that something that we should have expected from the Pfizer shot?
Good morning, Nathan. Well, we've seen kind of snippets of data ahead of this larger publication, peer-reviewed publication, showing similar direction for the efficacy that we've now seen in a much, much larger data set. So expected, yes, but it's also nice to see it in a peer-reviewed journal in a much larger group, you know, about 1.2 million people, half and half vaccinated, not vaccinated. So that's great. But we do have to bear in mind that these are not clinical trials. These are observational studies, and they do have some limits as to how far you want to take the conclusion. But there's no question, this is great news.
Well, what's the conclusion you draw from this then?
Yeah, two doses, better than one dose, just as the trial suggested. And that, you know, we should just get out there and as fast as possible get shots into people's arms so that we can be one step ahead of the virus for a change as opposed to one step behind.
Is there still some question to be raised about the effectiveness of the Pfizer vaccine against some of these new variants that seem to keep cropping up? The latest report out of the New York Times is that there's a fast spreading variant in New York City that may dodge some of these inoculations.
Yes, absolutely. There are two elements going forward that are going to be crucial to understand. Is how long does this efficacy, what we used to say before, how long does immunity from the vaccines last for getting the variants? Just literally your immunity, if the virus didn't change, how long does that last? And, of course, time will tell, and Israel will probably be the first ones to tell us that. And then, of course, there's these variants, the one that particularly worries everybody. Remember that number. We'll talk about it very often. I think it's 484. That's the amino acid position where there's a change in the spike protein that seems to, and I've seen data, to reduce the ability of antibodies, for instance, induced by the vaccine from Pfizer-BioNTech, by up to 8-9-fold in being able to neutralize the virus. It doesn't mean that we'll go back to square one. It could mean that we might get more mild disease, moderate disease, but I'm hoping that the other parts of the immune system are still going to be able to manage severe critical disease and hospitalizations.
We also heard from Moderna yesterday saying that they're going to start clinical trials on booster shots aimed specifically at the South Africa variant, beginning the process of developing potentially new vaccines targeted toward these new strains. Should we expect approvals of these or development of these vaccines fairly quickly, do you think, or are we going to have to wait a while?
No. I think we've got several things that have happened that will aid that. I suspect every company will give you that news in the next week or two. And then the FDA has put out guidance as to what you need to do. You don't need to do another 30,000, 40,000 patient trial. We can get this to people by fall, potentially. One thing I would say, though, another piece of information that I'm really dying to see is what happens when you give this new variant vaccine to somebody who's had the older vaccine. Does your body react to it as if it was still reacting to the old variant, or does it actually give you a response to the new variant and protect you against that? That is something called antigenic sin. It's a floral phrase, but that's something we really would love to see some data on.
In our last 30 seconds here, Sam, we got that report yesterday on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine from FDA staff. There's going to be a meeting on it tomorrow. What's your expectation in regard to the Johnson & Johnson shot?
I would be amazed if it doesn't get approved tomorrow, Nathan. The data is great. The efficacy is great, especially against those severe cases. Maybe not so good against mild, moderate. But definitely I'd be very shocked if it doesn't get approved. And then, of course, we're looking forward to the two-dose vaccine trial that they'll report.
All right. Lots more to look forward to. Sam Fazeli, thank you as always. Sam Fazeli, senior pharmaceutical analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. So far, about 66.5 million coronavirus vaccine doses have been administered in the U.S. You can follow the effort on the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker at Bloomberg.com. S&P futures down 4 points. Dow futures up 45. NASDAQ futures down 83 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Bond yields are climbing, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average enters the day at a record high. Meantime, the retail trading frenzy is back. Shares of GameStop doubled yesterday, and they're on the rise again this morning. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, GameStop shares jumped 104% in regular U.S. trading. They're up another 50% of the pre-market. AMC Entertainment also rallied to push its three-day climb toward 59%. The activity inflated trading volumes and caused an outage on Reddit's Wall Street Bets forum. The surge recalls an episode last month that captured the attention of Wall Street regulators and eventually Congress. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Turning our attention to the pandemic, there's promising news on the vaccine front. A new study out of Israel says two doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech shot were overwhelmingly effective in almost 1.2 million people. That study was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Rachel Chang covers the healthcare industry for Bloomberg.
One new thing that we found from what's happening in Israel, which was not known in the clinical trials, which were not designed to look for this, is that it seems to be stopping the majority of spread as well. It's stopping people from getting infected, not just from getting sick. And what that means is that, yeah, there is a very big chance that if this vaccine can go out around the world, that pandemic could be stopped.
That's Bloomberg's Rachel Chang reporting. And on another note, an analysis by regulators says Johnson & Johnson's single-dose vaccine provides strong protection against COVID. Up next, J&J awaits a final decision on an emergency use authorization from the FDA. A panel meets on the matter tomorrow.
On Capitol Hill, the fate of Democrats' proposed $15 an hour minimum wage may be in the hands of the Senate. The proposal is part of President Biden's $1.9 trillion relief bill, but the Senate needs to decide whether it'll be allowable under complex rules that govern debate over the legislation. The House plans to vote on the package tomorrow. The Senate takes up the measure next week. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 3 points this morning. Dow futures up 50. NASDAQ futures down 79. The DAX in Germany is little changed, down less than a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 20, 30 seconds, yield 1.44%, and the yield on the two-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up a tenth of a percent or 7 cents at $63.30 a barrel. COMEX gold is down a third of a percent or $6.10 at $17.91.80 an ounce. And the euro 1.2234 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
It's 5:33 now on Wall Street. Let's bring in Amy Morris for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Amy.
Nathan, 62,000 middle school students in New York City are headed back to their classrooms today. Mayor Bill de Blasio says New York has set the gold standard for school reopenings nationwide.
The New York City example is now being lauded all over the country as the way to open schools. In fact, so much so that the Centers for Disease Control, when they put out their school guidelines, they borrowed heavily from the New York City approach.
De Blasio says New York City's high schools will reopen before the end of this academic year. Researchers have identified a new coronavirus variant, and it is spreading in New York. The New York Times reports the mutation called B1526 first showed up in November. Two teams of researchers have found this variant makes vaccines less effective. Dr. Anthony Fauci says rolling out more vaccines to more people will help eliminate these virus mutations.
The best way to get rid of that mutant is to vaccinate as many people as you possibly can, as quickly as you can.
Fauci spoke during a virtual COVID-19 fireside chat with New York's Dominican community. New Jersey is launching two new grant programs aimed at protecting the state's colleges and universities amid the pandemic. Governor Phil Murphy says both programs are funded by coronavirus relief spending through the Office of Higher Learning.
Using just under $30 million in COVID response funds to ensure the goals of our overall state plan for higher education are not undermined by the pandemic.
One program focuses on degree completion. The other aims to eliminate hunger and food insecurity on campus. Manhattan prosecutors have started gathering information in an investigation of Steve Bannon, the former presidential aide who was pardoned by Donald Trump on his last day as president. After he was pardoned, prosecutors issued subpoenas for records related to Bannon's fundraising efforts to build a border wall. The government stopped drunk driving and, or rather dropped drunk driving and reckless driving charges against Bruce Springsteen, admitting that his blood alcohol level was so low it didn't warrant those charges. Springsteen pleaded guilty to a third charge, consuming alcohol in a closed area. The judge fined him $500 plus $40 in court costs. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. What now for Tiger Woods? Obviously looking at a lengthy recovery from the injuries to his leg suffered in Tuesday's car crash, and he was already dealing with persistent back pain. John Rahm was at his goal for Tiger.
He was a great ambassador of the game, and you know, looked like he was trying to turn his life around, and you know, maybe looking forward in the future to retirement, spending some great time with his son Charlie. And I just hope, you know, he can get out of the hospital walking, meaning after a recovery, and, you know, he can still play with his kids and have a normal life.
World Golf Challenge starts today, Bradenton, Florida. The Rangers' Chris Kreider had the hat trick in Philadelphia, scored twice on the power play, but that was all they got, and it wasn't enough. Flyers won 4-3. Montreal Canadiens fired coach Claude Julien. An indication of the Knicks' improvement. They played on national TV just once in the first half of the season, but the NBA just released the second half schedule. Knicks are on national TV six times. They host Sacramento tonight. The Nets are home for Orlando. Utah blew out the Lakers by 25. The Jazz are 26-6. Lakers have lost four in a row. Rutgers beat Indiana. Seton Hall lost at Butler. The White Sox, Jose Abreu, who was the American League MVP last season, has tested positive for COVID. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. As we told you yesterday, former baseball star Alex Rodriguez is the latest athlete to sign on to a special purpose acquisition company, or SPAC. Rodriguez sat down with Bloomberg's Emily Chang to talk about the move.
We look at about 1,000 deals per year. About 300 or 400 of those are with the huntees. They're coming after us. They want to do business with us. Look, we like sports, media, technology. Anything we do is going to have a tech, you know, should be the backbone of the company.
A-Rod's Slam Corp began trading earlier this week. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City landlords are seeking ways to repopulate their buildings after earlier attempts, from beefing up virus safety measures to lobbying the city's finance bosses, had little success. Big landlords, including Related Companies and RXR Realty, have added on-site testing at their properties. New York City's museums, sports arenas, and entertainment venues are slowly coming back to life, but the sector's been hit hard by the pandemic, according to the state comptroller's office. Jobs in arts, entertainment, and recreation fell 66% in 2020 from a year ago. That's the biggest decline among the city's economic sectors. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy proposed a record $44.8 billion of spending in his election year budget, seeking no new taxes or major cuts while funding more assistance for middle and low-income voters and the state's first full pension contribution in more than 25 years. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
morning. Steve Potaskin on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about the limited reopening plan for Disneyland.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Texas oil pipelines restore most services after the freeze.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the possibility of corporation tax increases from the Chancellor in the budget next week.
I'm Ed Corey on WOAI in San Antonio. I'm reporting one researcher says Texas deep freeze and power outages last week could cost up to $90 billion in losses.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. On the economic front today, we get the latest readings on growth and the labor market, both due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast GDP will be revised up to 4.2%, while weekly jobless claims will keep running at historic levels. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Bloomberg Economics says weekly jobless claims should start moving lower. Recent data have been volatile, bouncing around a lot, skewed by the historic impact of the pandemic on tabulating the numbers. In the prior report, jobless claims rose to a four-week high of 861,000, roughly four times higher than before the coronavirus arrived about a year ago. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. Turning to corporate news now, earnings continue to roll in. Up next, it's HP's turn to report this afternoon. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
HP has seen strong sales through the pandemic as remote workers upgraded their home office setups. And while that strength is expected to continue in HP's fiscal first quarter, Bloomberg Intelligence says that strength is likely to be offset by chip supply constraints. It also sees continuing issues with HP's printing business, especially its higher-margin supplies business. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a profit of 66 cents a share on revenue of just under $15 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Larry, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures up 72 points. NASDAQ futures down 59. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. Bonds are selling off and stocks rising on prospects of a stronger-than-expected recovery encouraged by ample fiscal and monetary aid. The 10-year Treasury yield climbed to the highest in a year. Japan's longer-dated benchmarks rose to multi-year records. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are a little changed now. They're down a point. Dow futures higher, up 62. NASDAQ futures are lower, down 58. The DAX in Germany is little changed, up less than a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 16/32, yield 1.43%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. 30-year yield, 2.28%. NYMEX crude oil is up a quarter percent or 15 cents at $63.37 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $5.70 at $17.92.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.2223 against the dollar. British pound, 1.4158. And the yen at 106.09. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, the House is about to pass the Equality Act, which amends existing civil rights law to include sexual orientation and gender identification as protected characteristics. It faces challenges, though, in the Senate. Moderna has become the first vaccine maker to develop a shot targeting the South African coronavirus variant. The National Institutes of Health will soon start human trials. Australia's law forcing Google and Facebook to pay for news is ready to be implemented. In return for the amendments, Facebook has agreed to lift a ban on Australians accessing and sharing news. In sports, the Rangers fall to the Flyers. In basketball, the Warriors beat the Pacers. The Celtics lose to the Hawks. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. John.
Amy, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm John Tucker. Well, the meme stock mania has kicked up again. Shares in GameStop jumping 104% in regular trading yesterday. Also jumping post-market in the U.S. and pre-market this morning amid a new flurry of buying. We are joined now by Joe Weisenthal, Bloomberg News executive editor and co-host of the Odd Lots podcast. And what'd you miss on Bloomberg Television? GameStop. What was the catalyst?
I have no idea, really.
I like a good honest answer.
Yeah, like it's early. We can be honest here. But, you know, the day before yesterday, we got the news that the CFO was out. He left, and there was some question initially. It's like, oh, did this have something to do with the fact that they never cashed in on the surge in late January and maybe should have? Doesn't appear to be about that. I think that was maybe a catalyst for the shares in the sense that that was perceived to be a sign of strategy reorientation. And, of course, the one, like, you know, there's a lot of talk about Reddit.
What's strategy? And
that's the thing. That's really the thing. There's a lot of talk about Reddit and the call options traders, et cetera. But there is this sort of, like, fundamental view out there, which is that there is this activist investor, Ryan Cohen, the founder of Chewy.com, who's in the stock. He's bullish on the stock. He has some sort of vision of online selling, etc., and he's been a very successful internet entrepreneur. He bought a stake in GameStop at the end of last year, and so there is this idea that the departure of the CFO could be a sign that Ryan Cohen is actually starting to get some influence within the company. Also, Ryan Cohen tweeted a photo yesterday of an ice cream cone, and no one knows what it meant, but everyone's like, it's a sign. It means something about GameStop. No one knows what it meant. It's literally just a photo of a soft serve, like McDonald's, like ice cream cone. But it's like, well, Ryan Cohen speaks, and a lot of the GameStop bulls think that he has some magic idea.
Okay, so back in January, there was a short squeeze.
Yes.
Short interest in GameStop nowadays is something like 33% of the float. So, is it the same thing here, or is it less of an influence?
I mean, there is probably a bit of an element of that. But, you know, look, like, obviously GameStop not that long ago was just like a single-digit stock. And so I think even at the recent price of like $50, there were people like, well, okay, it's going to go back down to where it was pre all of this. And it never did. But I do think that, like, this is this sort of, like, idea that there is this fundamental turnaround story is a bit still underappreciated. There are fundamental GameStop bulls who are separate from just the Robin Hood call options buyers. And these people exist as people who, you know, think there's like a fundamental turnaround story at play. It's actually how the whole GameStop thing got started. And the guy who testified, the Roaring Kitty, like that was his thing, that he believed that there was a fundamental story. So that still exists out there in the market.
You could draw up a whole list of shorted stocks. Does this GameStop episode part deux, does that highlight the fact that we might see a surge in a lot of these shorted stocks when the economic recovery takes hold and accelerated even more?
It's a really good question, but I will say for sure that if you look at a lot of the names that were extremely unpopular for most of the pandemic, probably from like last March till last, I don't know, October, December, a lot of these sort of the true reopening trades have been on a tear. Like, you know, if you were like someone, you know, pull up a chart of like Planet Fitness, PLNT. It's a gym chain. They got totally clobbered, like, you know, you would imagine any gym chain would in the shutdowns. This stock it's been on a huge rocket ride lately. So some of these, like, really these business models, which just got obliterated, you know, check out the cruise lines. They're sort of probably the most infamous, the most ground zero for the trouble. Huge tear. I mean, look at Royal Caribbean or Carnival lately. So I do think that some of the names that really, like, were left for a long time have been on a rocket ride lately.
Joe, always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by this morning. Joe Weisenthal, Bloomberg News executive editor, co-host of the Odd Lots podcast, and what you miss on Bloomberg Television, GameStop in the pre-market up 57%. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Fortas Building among some lawmakers in Washington to boost a long-standing tax credit that supports the construction of affordable housing. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is directing Senate leaders to draw up legislation to make the United States more competitive with China in manufacturing and technology. IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig told lawmakers he sees no need to extend the tax filing season beyond April 15th this year.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story we're watching. The boss, Bruce Springsteen, appearing before a federal judge on drunk driving charges yesterday. Those and reckless driving charges were dropped, and Springsteen pleaded guilty to possession of alcohol in a closed area. For more on the matter, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg legal editor Peter Jeffrey.
So Springsteen pleaded guilty to possession of alcohol in a closed area, which is a misdemeanor. And the prosecutors dropped two other charges, driving while intoxicated and reckless driving. In the end, the judge fined Springsteen $500. And there was kind of a funny moment when the judge asked him how long he needed to pay. And Springsteen said, "Oh, I can pay that immediately, Your Honor." So that's what happened. And, you know, this has been such a big local and national, and maybe even beyond that, set of headlines since November. It turns out that Springsteen's blood alcohol level was 0.02%, and in New Jersey, the threshold for impairment is 0.08%. So Springsteen's blood alcohol level was well below that. But it came at an awkward time, because you may recall that during the Super Bowl, Jeep aired an ad starring Springsteen, the kind of in his austere mode of looking toward the future and calling the nation together for unity. So, this following that by just a few days was awkward, to say the least.
Was there any explanation for why he was charged with drunk driving when his blood alcohol level was lower than the state limit?
It's not unusual for prosecutors to bring several charges. Sometimes they then add charges, but they can also subtract them. You know, the encounter with Springsteen and the officer involved the officer on foot patrol, see Springsteen drink a shot of tequila, get on his red and silver Triumph, start the engine, approaches him. Springsteen did not want to take a blood alcohol test, but later did at a ranger station. So I'm not exactly sure the sequence of events, but again, it's not unusual to bring a set of charges and then make a deal. Sometimes in the courtroom, sometimes just before. And what happened here is that the prosecutors, they asked the court for permission to dismiss the drunk driving and reckless driving charges. And Springsteen agreed to plead guilty to possession of alcohol in a closed area.
And that's Bloomberg legal editor Peter Jeffrey speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning, S&P futures are a little changed. Dow futures are higher, up 60 points, and NASDAQ futures are falling, down 50. 10-year Treasury down 16 32nds, the yield 1.43%. And our top stories are straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.